Okay, we're going to go and get started. I know more people are going to be dialing in, and we'll just let them join in as they dial in. All right, so welcome. Those of you who are new to conference calls, Lisa, Sophia, and myself have been doing these conference calls for, I think it's been about 9-10 months now. if you are new, we call this the SOS conference call. Standing on Scripture, because we're standing for our marriages, standing on Scripture. And let me go through my we post these conference calls. If you're not familiar with the website that I've set up, it's praisereports.org. And if you go there, you're going to find several things. The main purpose of that website is for marriage testimonials, marriage, restored marriage testimonials. And I have a combination of 130 of them, YouTube videos and written testimonials, 130 restored marriages, testimonials. And there's thousands and thousands more on the internet. And I just try to add, as I have time, I add more and more to websites, but that's a really good start. The reason why that's important is that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12:11, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So testimonials are prophetic in our hearts and in our lives because they prophesy of what's to come in our lives. So they speak prophetically to us. And so on that website, praisereports.org, you will find, if you follow the links to the restored marriage testimonials, you'll also find the archived conference calls that we've been doing for the last 9 months, 10 months. And you'll find some really good stuff in there. We have several of them that where we've had restored marriages, testimonials live on the conference call. Speaking of which, we have another one, conference call that we're doing in 2 weeks where we have Gerald and Yvette Benton. They also have a restored marriage, and now they have a website with a ministry, and they do counseling, and they do they provide a lot of information and help and support for those hurt marriages, for those broken marriages, and for those like us who are standing for our marriages. So that's coming up in 2 weeks. So mark your calendars. In 2 weeks, it's going to be 2 weeks from tonight. And I think it's going to take us, let me look at my calendar here. That's going to be February 6th. It's going to be same time. It's going to be 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. So depending on your time zone, check your time. They've agreed to be with us for a full hour and a half. And part of what we're going to do tonight, we'll get into it in a little bit. What we're going to do here in a little bit is then ask you guys for questions that you would like to ask, I just forgot their names, Gerald and Yvette Benton. And by the way, if you go onto YouTube, they have, I don't know, some 20 or 30 YouTube videos of, the restored marriage, encouragement, videos. A lot of their videos are going to be helpful in helping you to encourage you and to encourage you in your stand. In their situation, I'll give you just a brief info, and I'm completely off script here, but Gerald is the one who stepped outside of his marriage, and he was involved in not only adulterous affairs, but other stuff. And I don't want to give too much away because I want you, come back. And one, I want you to go and see their videos and their YouTube videos and spend some time watching them and hearing their testimonies. And then contact us again or contact me with questions that we can put together a list of questions to present it to them during the conference call. So we then have, an agenda for the evening and questions that you guys want to answer. If you if you want to ask questions but you haven't seen their videos, then some of those questions you might present to us may have already been answered in the videos. So that's why we encourage you, watch their videos. One, you'll be encouraged, you'll be strengthened, and your faith will grow because you're witnessing a testimony of a restored marriage. But at the same time, then you'll be able to come up with some unique questions that are not addressed or answered in their YouTube videos, and then you can present them to us, and we can ask them live when we have them on our conference call coming up in 2 weeks. So that's coming up. But going back to praisereports.org, on that website, we have restored marriage testimonials. We have the archived conference calls. Some of those conference calls, like I said, have restored marriages. People who have their marriages restored, their personal testimony, and there's other encouragement there as well. And then let's see, what else is there on the website? Well, there's a few other things, but they're not as important as these two. So let me continue. SOS, Lisa, Sophia, myself, Standing on Scripture. Welcome. What we usually do is ask you to put yourselves on mute, but tonight we're not going to do that. Tonight we're going to ask you to get yourself off of mute, because what we want to do is we're going to do a Q&A with you to come up with some questions that we could present to Gerald and Yvette when they come up in our 2 week conference call. So tonight, no mute. We're going to have interaction with you tonight. And let me see, there was something else. We do archive these conference calls. So in our discussions tonight, please don't use your spouse's name, and also don't. If you want to use your name, that's fine. Your first name, you don't have to. But we do post these conference calls on the website so others can hear them who aren't able to attend us tonight. Aside from that, I think that's all with the intro. I will say we're going to go ahead and start with prayer, as we always do. And do we have any men or women who would like to open us up in prayer tonight? Anyone, be bold and courageous. Step forward. No one? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We want to thank you, Father, for this time and this opportunity where we could come and just be encouraging to one another and lift each other up, Father, in your word, as iron sharpens iron. Father, we also ask that where two or more are gathered, you will join us. So, Father, we ask you to join us here in this conference call. Help us, Father, to find words of encouragement. Help us, Father, to find truth in your word, and the hope that we're looking for in you. And Father, we ask that as we have tonight's conference call, they would speak in and through us and open up our hearts, Father, to receive your word and your truth and your wisdom, your knowledge and your understanding. And above all else, Father, to see that seeking your kingdom is first and above everything else in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, we ask that you would bless and anoint our conference call tonight. Bless each and every person who's joining us here on the conference call tonight, or will hear this in a playback later. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Again, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for joining us and anointing us and coming and joining us in this conference call. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay. Lisa and Sophia, are either of you on this call with me? They're not here yet. Okay. All right, so I'm going to get back to what I said earlier, is that what we like to do today in the first part of this conference call is do a little bit of a Q&A, mostly asking you, here's the question. In 2 weeks, we're going to have Gerald and Yvette Benton coming and sharing their personal testimony of God restoring their marriage. What we'd like to hear from you is, what questions would you like us to present to, and I'm going to get a notepad here so I can take notes. What questions would you like us to present to Gerald, who was the prodigal, and to Yvette, his wife, who was the standard. And then again, I'll mention that for those who just joined in, Gerald is the prodigal. He stepped out of it outside of his marriage. He's had, I think, well, at least one affair. I don't know if he's had more. I can't remember from the videos. And then he's gotten involved in some other bad stuff. He was gone for a period. He absolutely hated his wife, and he wanted a divorce. He was insisting and demanding a divorce. And I can't remember now, because it's been, I don't know, a few months since I've seen the videos. She was standing for the marriage, and she was standing for a marriage, I think, without really realizing what standing was. She just knew that God wanted her to stand by her marriage and to stand by her husband. And she had, I don't think she had a ministry that she was leaning on or anybody else. She might have had some prayer partners that prayed with her, but she was essentially, except for a couple of prayer partners, I think she was essentially alone. So that was very interesting. And so from that perspective, I know we have more women on this conference call than we do have some men, so I'm expecting to hear a lot of you women stepping up and asking questions, because you're in a situation quite similar to Yvette's situation, where she was standing for her husband and standing for her marriage. And he, you know, he moved out, he left, he was in affairs and another bad stuff. And so what questions would you like to have us to present to Yvette? So we'll open the floor to all of you who are on this call. You have some questions you'd like to ask, because those are the questions we're going to present to both Gerald and Yvette. Okay. Anybody? Am I on mute? I'm not on mute, am I? No, you're all hearing me, right? Okay. Okay, open floor. Anyone? Questions? Come on, guys. I know you. I know we all have questions. I know I see it on the prayer wall, on the RMM prayer wall. We see it that, you know, you guys are questioning. You know, they say they're never coming back. They say that, you know, they say this, they do that. Let me pose the question a different way. Let's say that you could ask your spouse right now two questions. If you could call up your spouse right now, your prodigal spouse, and ask them two questions, and God would force them to answer both of those questions truthfully, what would you ask them? What would you ask your spouse? Because in the same way, that's the question you want to ask Gerald, the prodigal, and Yvette, the standard. So let's try it that way. Any questions? No questions for Gerald or Yvette.
Yeah, I'm going to say something. I've watched one or two of their videos online, and so I know a little bit about their situation. For me, I really wouldn't have any questions, because my circumstances are quite different, and the questions I would want to ask would be very specific to my situation that they never went through. And so I don't know if they could even answer them. And I don't know if a lot of other people might feel that way as well. Because I know with them, they never got divorced. And for a lot of people, if they are already divorced, that's another dimension to the circumstances. And for those whose spouses have now engaged in a non-covenant marriage with their affair partners, that adds another layer of circumstances. And so I think sometimes it's hard to ask the questions that we would like to get answers for when the people we're asking have not even been through those same circumstances.
Okay, fair enough. How about those of you who are standing for your marriages where your marriage is not, there is no divorce? How about those? But I know that whenever I come across, and I come across testimonials all the time because I'm constantly searching for those on the internet. As I come across them and I listen to someone's testimonial, there's some basic questions that I always ask. And I ask myself rhetorically, of course, but because I'm watching a video or I'm reading someone's written testimonial, what I ask is, some of the questions are, what was the turning point in a prodigal's heart where they, just like the prodigal son, at which point that they were their eyes open and they said, gee, maybe I was better off at home. Maybe I had it better there than where I am now. What do I need to do to get back, if that's even possible? So I know I always look for those key things, because that's, I think, common with every restored marriage, regardless of how far it went, whether it's divorce, whether there's a remarriage, whether there's another child involved, you know, from the other person. There's always going to be a turning point in the prodigal. So some of my questions are, you know, what triggered it? Tell me how it happened. What were you thinking? What was going through your mind during that turning point? How long have you heard the Lord speaking to you, chasing you, speaking to you? And when you heard the Lord saying, go home, go home, go home, what were you doing? How were you responding? What was your attitude towards the Lord in response? Those are the kind of various questions that I ask. So just, you know, kind of giving you some food for thought. And, you know, again, the prodigal, when you said you're never coming back home, when you said you're never going to love me again, or you don't love me anymore, was that really true? Or were they just, you know, words coming from a place of anger or bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness? Is it true that deep down inside you still love me, you know, even though you said the opposite? So those are some of the questions that I try to get answered every time I encounter any restored marriage. Does that make sense, you guys? So, you know, questions along those lines of, why do they hate me? Why are they saying such mean things about me? Why are they making up stuff about me? But I want to hear your questions, though, because we're doing this for, we're doing this so you guys could hear their testimonial, and we could get them to answer some of those questions for you, you know, answer those. So let's see if we can come up with some questions. Any questions Okay. Okay, none. All right. Okay, well, then we'll come up with some questions that we'll present to them. I will also give you let me see here. If you come up with questions later on, let me give you my email address so you can email me. It would be chris@praisereports.org. So if you think of any next week or two, just shoot me an email. We will we'll put together questions and then go from there. Let me ask this, and I usually don't do this, but I feel the need. Is there anything specific that anyone would like to discuss tonight in terms of standing, in terms of being encouraged, in terms of what God says about his word, his promise to restore marriage? If you've been on these conference calls before, you know that I could start speaking, and then I'll go on for the duration of the call. And I do get some feedback once in a while that some people enjoy it, and I don't know if everybody does. But is there anything specific in the topic you guys would like to discuss? Do you have any questions for me, for Lisa, for Sophia? Any questions anything you want to discuss in standing that might encourage you? Any questions? Anything?
I don't have a question, but I want to give an encouragement if I can.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, this is Amy. I've actually been on there before, and my husband's actually away tonight for work, so I thought I'd call in and give an encouragement because he actually came home on Christmas Eve. And
amen. Praise the Lord.
I just want to give an encouragement that God will do what he says he will do. His word, every promise in his word is true. And don't give up. Don't give in. I've been through this for 5 years through impossible circumstances. And I know circumstances vary. Every situation is different, but it doesn't matter. In the end, God is for marriage. He will do what he has promised you. I just have to say he's done more than I ever expected. I don't even have words to express how amazing God is and the things he has done and the prayers he has answered and how he has changed my husband's heart. My husband hated me, absolutely, positively hated me, completely abandoned me and my 5 children. Actually, I was pregnant with the 5th. And his heart is home. His heart is back to his children. His heart is back to me. And God is real. He does what he says he'll do. He promised me and he did it. So I just want to give encouragement. Don't give up. It doesn't matter your circumstances. God is bigger. So that's what I wanted to say.
And amen. You said a lot. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, how long has he been gone?
He was gone about 4.5 years. He left a little bit. I mean, he kind of was in home for a little bit, but he was gone about 4.5 years. He was living with the other woman the whole time. So,
wow.
I remember your praise report post from mm-hmm. on the share wall. So thank you for joining our call. Do you mind if we ask a couple of questions?
Go ahead. I'll do my best.
Okay. So gone for four. Gone for. So this is a testimonial for tonight. Here we go. You know, the Lord provides, right? So he's been gone for about 4 years. Finally, his heart was turned back. God turned his heart back to you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So God's word is true where in Proverbs 21:1, God says that he's the one who turns the hearts of kings in whichever direction he wants, like channels of rivers. Let me ask you this. Did you do anything to pursue him, or in the end, God is the one who turned his heart, not you?
I have to say, in the end, God is the one. I mean, in the beginning, I was desperate and tried probably every manipulation in the book, but nothing ever worked. I mean, just to be transparent, I tried and nothing worked. And I remember even close to when he came home, he even opened up to me and told me a lot. And like, and I mean, if this is an encouragement, I never knew any of this. And he, I'm telling you, I couldn't see this in him. I didn't know this. He told me that he never stopped loving me, even though he said he did. He never stopped loving me, that he cried out for me so many nights, that if I only knew that, and that he knows that he can't be whole without me. Like, all of these things that I just never knew went on. And other things, too. I mean, these are just helpful things that I know might help you guys. He told me, because I didn't stand perfectly. There were times when my hurt would overwhelm me, and I would kind of what I call dump on him with some hurt. And he actually told me that he would be so close to coming home, and then I would do something like that, and it would stop him. So controlling your tongue is so important. And I was never, like, mean, but I would just, my hurt would come out. And so you just have to let go and really let God and just pour it out to God and not them, because that struck me in the heart and made me realize that I really had to give up anything. And I had to give up all control to God, and that actually really turned things around with us. So I don't know if that helps at all.
That helps. And before I ask another question, let me throw this in there, because I think everyone who's hearing this needs to kind of let this sink in a little bit. There are several things that you said. Okay, so I have had the privilege and the blessing to have read over 300 restored marriage testimonials. That's a lot. That's a little bit of an understatement. It could be more than that. What I will say, though, is that in a great majority of those restored marriages, one thing that is very, very common that I hear amongst all of them is that regardless of what the prodigal says, I hate you, I'm never coming back, all of those negative things, what we find out from the prodigal being, when they come back, what we find out is that in the prodigal's heart, deep down inside, they really did love their husband or their wife. And many of them will attest to the fact that they will say, I'm not sure why I said those things. I felt I was out of control. Some people will say, I don't even remember saying those mean or hateful things to their spouses. And there's a couple of other points. So much of what she just said about her husband when he came back, many of those things are very common in more than half of the testimonials that I've read or heard about. So be encouraged, because this is what you just heard from her and her husband coming back home and what he said to her, what you just heard her testify to is very common. And that means it's happening with your husband or your wife. So this is why this is great encouragement, is because when you hear your own husband or your own wife say mean, hateful things to you, it's, first of all, it's not really them speaking. It's our enemy speaking through them. 2 Timothy 2:26. You know, that's where the verse talks about Satan takes the mind captive to do their will, to do his will, Satan's will. So I want to ask another question. Did your husband, when he came back, did he say, and maybe you haven't gotten to this point yet or not, but has he mentioned yet what finally gave him the courage and the boldness to finally come home, what finally turned his heart? And he actually came home, like followed through this time and came home.
I haven't. Actually, I want to ask him. I want to ask him when the turning point was. But I know what finally gave him, because he's actually been saying he's wanted to come home for about a year now, but it just never has happened. And I don't want to give every detail, but actually something really bad happened. Kind of between us, and it actually, but I knew immediately that God was going to use it for good, and actually that's what kind of forced the coming home, not forced it, but actually that's what gave him the final push home. So God used a rough circumstance, a bad circumstance, and he really turned it for good. And it's funny because I knew I had peace immediately and knew that that was what God was using. Because I always prayed, God, you do the one thing that'll get him out of that other home and bring him home. And he did the one thing. Yeah, he did it. It was rough, but he did it. So
praise the Lord. That's Romans 8:28. For God, you know, works all things, all things. I've heard a few preachers say, you know, some things or certain things. No, if you go back and look at the King James or New King James, it's God uses, Romans 8:28, God uses all things for our good to those who love God according to his will and purpose. So I love that. Amen. Because, praise the Lord, because God is using all things. And in your situation, he took the bad thing, turned it into a good thing, brought him home. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and I knew it too. When it happened, I knew. I had that peace from God. I knew that in my heart that this was it. And it was.
That was it. That was it. So isn't that just like, you know, Joseph's story where, you know, Joseph was given that dream and then, you know, he talks about it to his brothers and then his father, and then the next day he gets, you know, abducted by his brothers and sold and almost killed, but then saved him. Thrown into slavery, and then the situation went from bad to worse to hopeless. You know, slavery, and then, you know, then a dungeon for 2 years. So God, you know, what Satan meant for evil, God used for good. Again, another very, very powerful word from the Bible. What more? So for 4 years. What was his attitude for the duration of the 4 years? Was he standoffish? Was there any communication at all? Did you see him warming up to you in any way?
Softening his heart? He was very standoffish, very little communication for a couple years. It's been a while, but even while he was home in the beginning when he was pulling away, it was very little communication. He would be gone all the time. And then when he finally left, it was maybe a text here and there. I was pregnant, so he would send me at least maybe a text a day or something. And but that was it. He was very mean, very cruel, very angry. He did maybe a couple years ago start to kind of warm. It's been a very slow process. So, but even up until he came home, he was pretty standoffish. And that's why I was actually prepared to have him come home and be pretty angry and brooding and stuff. So I have been quite surprised there's been a complete turnaround. He's incredibly loving, incredibly involved, very, very happy to be home. So I don't know how God did it, but he did it.
So the condition in which he came home, the condition in which God brought him home, was not fully repentant and, you know, apologetic. He came home with still some hardness of his heart, right?
No, I'd have to say he came home really soft, but it was...
He did, okay.
It wasn't until he came home. Like, honestly, within a couple of days, like, he came home up until then, he was still kind of hard. But it was almost instant when he came home. I don't know if he just was tormented and had peace once he came home and felt freer, but he was pretty, very repentant once he came home. Mm-hmm. So, to me, I got the apologies and such, finally.
So, can I ask you, during the 4 years, have you heard from God, and how have you heard from God? And have you received any rhema words that you just like planted your feet on them and said, Lord, this is my word from you, and I'm standing on this scripture or these scriptures, believing you're going to bring him home?
Yes. It was actually, I kind of stood like other people before I even knew what standing was. I think I found Rejoice Marriage Ministries a couple years, like a year and a half into it, because he wasn't in home for quite some time, so this has actually been over 5 years. But I'm trying to think. And then it got really, really, really bad between us. I don't know, really, just it was awful. And I just remember I sat on the couch one night and I said, God, you got to give me something. And I just opened my Bible and there was the scripture. I think I don't know the reference. I know the verse by heart, but I think it's Jeremiah 32. It's in there. And he promised that he would bring them home back to this land, make them dwell in safety, that he would give them one heart and one way, that he would fear God forever for his own good and the good of his children after him. And I have stood on that ever since. And so that, and then even throughout, he's given me scripture of like songs, just even like my mom has been a big encouragement through this. Yeah, so God has really spoken to me through it. God has become my first love. I just will say that God's my absolute first love and he's my everything. My husband, and I can say this right now, my husband, I'm very happy he's home, but he's not my source of joy. God is, even now. My time with the Lord is my prize. That's all he is. And it's been harder to get since he's been home. But
did
so,
you,
yeah, spoken.
Okay, have you, so during your four-year period of standing, have you had moments of doubt, moments of questioning God, like, you know, God, did I really hear you? Did you really say you're going to restore? Did you have any of those moments or any of those struggles?
Oh, many, yes. Many, many, many times. But I don't think I ever truly lost hope. I had times of discouragement and times of, like, despair. I mean, but, yeah, so absolutely, yes. I doubted. I definitely didn't stand perfectly. I didn't do everything near right, you know. But God's faithful. He has always been, had a way of bringing me back around somehow with a song, with a Bible verse, with, you know, an encouragement word from encouraging from somebody, something. He's always done something. So
you mentioned that your mother was supporting you during your stand, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Did you have other people, like, before you found RMM, how were you finding the strength, the encouragement, the hope to stand the first 2 years
prayer,
before you found?
Mostly through God. I mean, I have to say my church supports marriage and they're against divorce and remarriage and such, but I don't think they agreed with my open door policy. It was more the tough love stand they took. So I kind of got to the point where I didn't talk to anybody. It was pretty much just my mom, because it was just pretty much my mom, which I'm really grateful for that I had her. But honestly, the time I received strength, I get up early every morning before the kids, and I would actually spend a couple hours in prayer and in quiet time, and that's where my strength came from, is that time with the Lord, and he'd fill me. Without that, I don't know what I would have done. So it's pretty much God.
So can I ask you, so the first 2 years, that's how you were standing. Once you found RMM and then you were kind of, you know, like the rest of us, interactive with, you know, reading their devotionals, Charlene's devotionals. What did you find? What did you find that was encouraging through Charlene's ministry, RMM ministry? How has your stand changed, or maybe been more encouraged once you found RMM?
Just finding a family of people that are going through the same thing encouraged me that I wasn't crazy doing this, and just her experiences. And even I always loved the Tuesday ones where Bob Wood had his rights, and those always encouraged me and helped me a lot. I got all the books and some of the CDs and stuff, and it was so encouraging to know I wasn't alone, that I wasn't crazy.
I agree. I loved, and I still do love, Tuesday mornings are my favorites, because I get to read something from Bob. And I think one of my favorite books from the RMM ministry is Bob's book, especially the one, The Prodigal's Perspective. And it's such
like
a powerful book. Love that one. I think I've read it twice, cover to cover. It is that good and that powerful. For those of you who are not familiar with it, you've got to get the book. If you can't afford it, reach out to me. I'll buy it for you. I'm not kidding. I've done it before. It is that good of a book. You've got to read it. it will encourage you, because you then will see the truth. When the more you understand what's going on with the prodigal, the more you will understand 2 Timothy, and I'm going to encourage you all, write this down and go read it after the conference call. 2 Timothy 2:26. That verse clearly states that anyone, even a Christian, can be led down a path of lies and deception by Satan and his demons to do his will. And if we do Satan's will, we're not doing God's will. And if we're doing Satan's will, we're not exercising our free will. And one other thing I love about that verse is because it speaks of two things. Number one, it speaks about free will. And I mentioned this on a prayer wall, is that, you know, people bring up the question I've been asked 100 times. What about free will? What about it? Their free will has been hijacked. See, because we think we are led to believe, even by people on the street, people at church will tell you this. Well, you know, brother, we can't, you know, God won't change their free will. Well, God, Jesus came to deliver us. Jesus came to set us free. Whom he has set free is free indeed. That's what Jesus did. We've been set free. But when we or our spouses give room in our heart to one life from Satan, it creates a beachhead and a foothold. And once he gets that foothold, now it opens the door for other lies and deception. And once they go down that path, then the next thing they do is they find themselves like the prodigal son. They find themselves in the pig pen, and they wake up and they realize, where am I? What have I done? Oh, my goodness. And they look back at what they have done to their marriage, to their family, to the the death and destruction in their wake, and they freak out. So it speaks. So 2 Timothy 2:26 speaks about Satan hijacking their free will, and that the individual is not exercising their own free will. So that's a very powerful verse, because it knocks out several lies that we've been told. And we've been told those lies designed by Satan to discourage us. Because if we get discouraged, we stop standing. We stop standing with the Lord. We stop standing in the gap. And we stop praying for them. See how Satan wins? He gets our spouse and he gets us. So coming back to, I have another question for you. During your 4 years of standing for your husband, can you share a little bit of how the Lord has answered prayer, has provided for you, your family, your household, your children? Can you share a little bit about that? Because we know he's faithful.
He's definitely been incredibly faithful. I mean, financially, and I don't know, I know other people don't get so fortunate, but he actually continued to provide for us. I didn't have to take him to court for support and stuff. He provided for us. And so I was able, you know, through the pregnancy and while the baby was small, pretty much to stay home. And then I did actually, God provided me with the best job in the world to do with a few kids, you know, to do with the kids and still be able to, because I actually homeschool too. So it's just God worked that all out for me. He actually really protected my children too. They actually never got involved with the other situation. And that was a tremendous blessing. Their hearts have stayed soft. They've stayed forgiving towards him. So I don't know. God has just been really, really good to me. He's brought help when I needed it. He's been really good. I've been very blessed through the stand. As hard as it's been, I've been incredibly blessed. So he's been very faithful. He's been with me every step of the way. And when I couldn't walk, he carried me, because there were days I couldn't even put one foot in front of the other. So he's been very faithful.
And you know what? And we all have had those days. I just answered an email today from a guy who's standing, and you know, and he shared in his email, you know, there are days when he gets up and he feels very strong in the Lord, and he, you know, he powers through the day. And there are a few days where, you know, he'll get up and it's just nothing but depression, and he doesn't want to get out of bed. And, you know, and I could relate, and I know I've spoken with many others who, you know, we're going to have those days where we're going to have that oppression. But praise the Lord, because what I've learned, and I think you could add to this, is that on those days when we feel that way, when our feelings, our emotions, they feel oppressed, we feel depressed, we feel like we don't want to do anything for that day, that we just want to sit and, you know, have a pity party and self-loathing and you know, feel sorry for ourselves. In those days, if we could just create the habit of forcing ourselves to pray and press into the Lord will come and carry us through. And he will carry us through those moments, and he will show himself strong and mighty to carry us to the other side of whatever that thing is that we're going through. Can you share the same? Add to that.
Yes, I can absolutely say that. And sometimes I would just pray because my emotions would be overwhelming, and I would be I'd call it in the deep pit. So, but he is always faithful to do something to pull me out, just either an inner strength or a verse or a word, just something. He would do something to help me, and I would always get through it and get past it. But I'm sure, like every other stander out there, those days do come for sure. So, but he's faithful. And I mean, I just have another thing to say. I used to always, I know, and this may sound awful, but I always hated when say, oh, don't worry, he'll be home at the perfect time. It'll be God's perfect timing. Okay, well, you know what? I never wanted to hear that, because in my eyes, perfect timing's now. But, and I'm sure everyone else feels that way too, but I can honestly say I get it, because if he had come home a couple years ago, it wouldn't have worked. And I can see now that he's home and the things that are in our marriage, that God has completely prepared me for how he is now and his homecoming. He has, like, perfectly prepared me so that I can handle things correctly and do things his way. So I probably wouldn't have been ready as much as I would have wanted it a couple years ago. So now I kind of get it. I get it. I do get that. So just even take the time as a learning to learn everything you can that God wants you to learn, because, I mean, it's wonderful he's home, but there are challenges, but God prepared my heart for him. So that's another, I guess, word of encouragement.
Let me ask you this, because I know several people are just desperate to hear this. Your husband was living with the other woman. How did you deal with, in your own heart, how did you deal with, wrestle with, and solve to whatever degree, forgiveness? Forgiveness for not only for what he did, but also dealing with your own feelings and emotions of betrayal, abandonment, but that he was with another woman. How did you deal with, and I know I'm asking several questions here, because there's several questions in that, you know, the betrayal, the abandonment, and then knowing he's with the other woman, the jealousy, the envy, maybe some hatred, you know. How did you deal with all of those? And did you tackle them one at a time and come across scripture that helped?
I did come across, because I had some interactions with her that were pretty rough, and she said some really hard things for me to handle. And God kind of walked me through it then, and he gave me very specific scripture to counteract the things that she said that hurt me, wounded me, like, really deeply. So God was very faithful there, and I stood on those scriptures that he gave me. And I mean, the forgiveness was a process. I was really angry for quite some time and really hurt. Like, if I thought about it, the pain would be unbearable. Well, I can honestly say about a year ago, I got to a point, you know, I chose to forgive every day, just chose to forgive and chose to forgive. And about a year ago, I got to the point where I actually could look back on what happened and not feel any pain. And I can honestly say even now I can look back and I don't feel that hurt inside. Like, God has really healed my heart. As far as the jealousy and the envy, and because that was ongoing, obviously. It was ongoing for a long time. So, honestly, it was a mind thing. I had to discipline my mind and learn to not to separate that out and not to think about it. Like, not to let my mind go there, not to surmise on what's going on, not to think about it, not to... And that was hard at first, but I got a lot better at it, and actually that really helped me because I just didn't think about it. I just chose to focus on God's promises and what God said and the words he's given me and on what little relationship I did have with my husband, what community, you know, and not, and to separate that out. So that actually helped me in my healing and helped me to not continue in anger or jealousy or anything. So that's pretty much how God walked me through that. But I can honestly say, I mean, I don't like what happened, but I don't have that, like, and I haven't for a while now, that, like, physical pain that comes with it. I don't feel that. Because I know I had a lot of responsibility. God brought me through a whole level of repentance on my own, and I'm not responsible for his choice. It was wrong no matter what, but I know the things I did in our marriage that set him up that, you know, could set him up, made him it easier for him to fall. So that actually helped me be much more merciful as God walked me through that repentance on my own part, too. If that helps.
So have you had the opportunity to discuss that with your husband? Does he know that you forgave him for the affair, for abandoning, leaving? I mean, have you discussed that with him? And does he know in your heart you forgave him for all that?
Yeah, he does. So he does. We've had that discussion. Even before he came home, and even once he came home, I told him. And honestly, and I even told him this, that I don't ever want to go through this again. And it was the worst thing I've ever gone through in my life. But like others have said, I wouldn't trade it, because what I've gained with God is priceless. The faith I've gained, everything, the relationship I've gained with the Lord is so worth it. Like, it's priceless to me. Like, he's just everything to me. He's so real. He's so good. He's so loving. And he's healed me of so much. Through the worst thing that could have ever happened in my life, he has healed me from so many things. So many things from my past. So many things he's healed me from through this trial. And only God can do that. So I don't ever want to go through it again. I mark my words there, but I so much good has come out of it. Even in my children, their walks with the Lord have grown. Like, so much has happened, and I've actually been helping other people going through this. So I know God is working this for good.
Amen. He always is. Do you mind if we ask and see if anybody else has any, you know, question that, you know, they might be interested in having you answer?
Sure.
Anybody else who's on the call? Do you guys have a question you want to ask on this restored marriage that we didn't plan on having on our call tonight? Anybody?
What was the relationship with the in-laws like before, and what is it like now that you're restored?
My in-laws, he actually has a strained relationship with it's his mom. And, so it was really strained. Me and her didn't have a relationship at all because of things that had happened and stuff. But actually through this and learning to forgive my husband, I reached out to her and I developed a relationship with her. And so now that's another healing that kind of took place. And so it's actually better now than it was before, to be honest. So, and he's kind of had a little bit of healing too because of it, which is nice.
Any other questions?
Does that answer your question? I missed it suddenly,
Chris. Can you recap that in 2 minutes or her?
The suddenly his moment. So I guess that's Lisa, by the way, and co-host of our conference call. I think we asked the question was, what was the suddenly moment when he decided to come home, finally decided to come home.
Okay, yeah, that was the one. Yeah, okay. That was what I had said about how God had, something actually bad happened that affected both of us, and I knew immediately that it was God and that this was what I had been praying for, the one thing to get him home and to get him out of there, and sure enough, it's what catapulted it, and probably within a month of that, he actually showed up Christmas Eve. He came home.
Did you notice, were you able to discern, like, heart changes with him prior to that time?
He's had some gradual, very, very gradual softening. And, I mean, he's been saying he wanted to come home for about a year now. So, but it just seemed like it was never, ever going to happen because he was still pretty standoffish and still there with the woman, you know, so... But that, as I kept praying, like, let the one thing happen that will completely get him out of there and give him the courage. And God sure did that one thing, and it was sure something I never expected.
You said you had communication with him during the separation?
Some. Very, 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 very limited in the beginning for quite some time. And then, I mean, it kind of increased, but, I mean, honestly, we would only talk when he was at work, and so evenings, weekends, holidays, everything, there was no communication. It was just pretty much when he was at work.
What do you say to women who basically say they have no communication with their spouse, and so they don't see how God is going to restore at all because there's no communication, like zero?
Right. I know that's really hard, but... I just have to say that from everything I've walked through and everything I've seen, God's bigger. But God's bigger than no communication. God's bigger than a divorce paper. God's bigger than whatever you have to face. He's so real, and every promise in the Bible is true. I mean, I know every circumstance is different, but God, he's bigger. I've seen him do miracles, so... I mean, it's an absolute miracle my husband's home. His heart was so hard.
I have some questions. I missed some of it, so I didn't know. Was there any divorce ever filed? Did you go through divorce at all? And also, what, if any, specific prayers did you pray every day? I did hear you say you were in prayer like 1 to 2 hours every morning, but were there specific prayers that you said over and over and over every single day that you think helped?
Okay. First, no, there was never any divorce. I don't know why he didn't. I honestly don't know if he just couldn't afford it or what, because I waited at that mailbox pretty much every day for it. And let's see here. So there wasn't any of that. But I pretty much prayed. I prayed a lot of scripture that God would give me. Like I said, like specific things like that. The other woman told me how they were building a life together and her children loved him and blah, 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 all these things. So actually God gave me one that said, unless the Lord builds a house, the labor's labor in vain. So I would pray that, and I would pray just specific verses as I would read through the Bible that would jump out at me. I would kind of compile them on a paper and I would pray those and just kind of what would come to my heart, you know, and those made me, but a lot of scripture I prayed.
Other questions? So what advice would you give to those of us who are on this call or listening later as encouragement when we don't see anything happening, when there's little or no communication, when we're praying and praying and praying, and yet it seems to get worse? It goes from bad to worse.
And it does. I just, it doesn't matter what you see. As I was working, like I said, I never knew any of this was going on in him. Like, I never knew. He acted like everything was wonderful, everything was great, didn't need me, was okay not being here for his kids. Like, I mean, everything. Like, but in the end, I find out he says he's dying inside. He's been dying inside this whole time. So it doesn't matter what you see, God's able. And even with, like, the no communication thing, I'm going to say, like, probably not long before he came home, he was on vacation with the other woman, and I had zero communication for, like, 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter. God is still working on the other side. He's still moving. He's still acting, and he will honor you. Just keep obeying, keep trusting him, and he will honor you. He's so faithful. God's just bigger. I'm in awe of God and what he's done and what I've seen him do. Like, this is an absolute miracle. Just don't give up.
So I just want to repeat this again, because I think it's worth repeating. Even for me, I enjoy hearing this, and I can never get enough of it. Your husband says that during the entire 4 years, while he's with the other woman, he's thinking of you, he's crying over you, and he's dying inside, and he's still loving you in his heart, right?
Yes. He said he never stopped loving me, ever, and that he thought that he would be okay without me, but he never has been. That he, yep. And that he's been dying inside.
Did you see, with the long hair, I was telling you.
Okay. So that should be encouragement to all of us that, again, we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we walk by sight, what happens is we start reacting to what we see. We think they're happy, but they're not, because they put on this fake facade for us to see. By all appearances, they seem to be happy and okay. When we had Jeff and Cheryl Scruggs on a few weeks ago for their testimonial, they were exactly the same way. They both did that with each other. They did that with each other where they were. They were pretending that they were fine and happy and content. Meanwhile, they really did love, and they were really missing each other, but they would not reveal that to each other. So if we walk by sight, we react to everything that we see, and we think, we start believing that they're fine, they're happy. And even I was praying to the Lord a week ago, where I was saying, I asked Lord, why would she want to come back? What is it about me that she loves? Why would she want to come back if she's happy and she's content? What would be the reason? And so again, we're reminded to walk by faith, not by sight. By faith is, what does God say? What did God say to us? What do we know about God and marriage and how he hates divorce? And, and I said this before, when God says in the Bible he hates divorce, hate is it's probably one of the strongest words that God could use. That would not be offensive language. So if that's the strongest that he can convey to us, imagine that. I mean, if God said he hated you, like, you'd end up in hell. That's how powerful that word is. From God, coming from God. So if God hates divorce, that means that he is working and desires more than we do to restore our marriage. If we could quantify our desire for our marriage to be restored, let's give it a numerical number. On a scale of 1 to 10, we say 10. But then God says, I'm breaking that scale. I'm minus 20. So imagine that. And that may not even be fair to God, because it might be even more than that. But I think what I'm trying to impress upon, you know, in these conference calls is that God's desire to restore marriages are much greater than we could even imagine, greater than our desire. We do it because we desire our marriages because we love them, we miss them, we want our friend back, we our best friend, we want the companionship. God wants to restore our marriages because it preserves his holiness. It's a testament to his holiness. It's a reflection on who he is, because it reflects his relationship and his covenant with us. So he can never lie. He can never change his mind, go back on his word. So there's so much that goes against him and who he is. He has to be very desirous of restoring our marriage. And there's reasons why sometimes he won't do it. If I decide I'm going to quit my stand and walk away and say no, then I may never see my marriage restored. There are probably very few cases where God won't do it. It's because no one's standing, no one's praying, and everyone's quit and walked away, and everyone, you know, both husband and wife decided they're going to live in the perpetual sin with the other husband, other wife, other person. And harden our hearts to the point where we don't care. And that doesn't happen very often, because I've seen way too many testimonials where even in the hardest, hardest, hardest cases, God touches hearts and brings them back. So I went off on a tangent there, sorry. But God will do it. I think I'm done. Do we have any other questions? And then we could probably talk about one or two other things and then wrap it up in prayer. Any other questions? Okay.
Hi, Chris.
I sent
an email to chris@praisereports.org.
Okay.
Just minutes ago, asking for a specific testimonial or testimony that you may have. If you could take a look at that, that'd be great.
Okay.
Do you just want me to ask you?
I'll look at it. Okay, and I'll probably look at it. I do see it. I'm looking at my cell phone. It's on my cell phone. I will take a look at it tomorrow, and I'll respond tomorrow. Would that work?
Thank you. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay, so I just want to, before coming on the conference call tonight, the Lord put two things on my heart to share with you tonight, and I'll be brief. When we're standing for our marriages, I think almost all of us ask two basic questions. Lord, what do I do? How do I stand? Because a lot of us are looking for, God, give me specific instructions, what I need to do, and what I need to do, and what I need to do, so I can do it and get my marriage back. And I think that we are conditioned, you know, through, I don't know, our society, we're conditioned to give me an instruction sheet, step by step, what to do, because I'm willing to do anything and everything to get my spouse, my marriage back, make it whole. And So before coming on the call, here's what I received. And if you want to write this down, Colossians 2, verse 6 through 10. And I'll just read it, but I'll repeat it again. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. This is what God is telling us to do. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him, rooted and built up in Jesus Christ, and established in your faith, as you have been taught, and that you might abound in it with thanksgiving. There's a second part, and this is verse 8 through 10. This is the second part now. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, that are not according to Christ. For in Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you and me, we're complete in him, Jesus Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. So let me take a minute real quick and break these two parts, break them down a little bit. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding, growing, and growing and being encouraged in it with thanksgiving. So this first part here is God saying, I am your rock. If you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ is telling you this right now. In your stand for your marriage, what should you do? How should you stand? Here's how you stand. Through the same faith you received Jesus Christ, that same faith is the faith that you will use to walk in him, walk in Jesus Christ, putting him on every single day, putting him on, Ephesians 6, putting on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, taking up your shield of faith, taking up your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. And then putting on your feet the gospel of peace, which comes from God. So that's our spiritual armor. So put on Jesus Christ every single morning. Pray that over yourself and over your husband or your wife. And walk in the same faith that you used to become a Christian and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that you and find your roots. Your roots should be planted firmly in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that your whole basis for standing for your marriage and your whole basis for believing and hoping and trusting that God will restore your marriage, all of that is rooted in the Word of God. That's why it's so important to go and read the Bible, read the scriptures that Charlene and the RMM ministry puts out there that are that serve as a foundation for standing for your marriage and standing for the restoration of your marriage. So you are rooted in Jesus Christ. And once you find your roots, those scriptures that stand out for you, you stand on those. Now you build on that. Those are the roots. The roots always grow to form branches and leaves, right? That's what you want. You think of it in those terms, where every single day your faith, your hope, your trust is being built upon the roots, which are those verses from the Bible that God has given to you uniquely and specifically to you. Okay, and then so rooted and built up in him, and then established in the faith, in that same faith. The fight we fight, we're not fighting for our marriages. We're standing for our marriages. We're fighting the good fight of faith. Faith, because if you never lose faith, you will see your marriage restored. If you lose faith, you may not see it, because God is displeased with those who lose faith and turn. Because when we lose faith, we start becoming disobedient, and when we start becoming disobedient, then then we're going against God's plan to restore a marriage. Okay, so established in the faith as you have been taught, and abounding. Abounding means to grow and develop and mature in it with thanksgiving. So So just like the woman we had on the call tonight, who was talking about her restored marriage, she was abounding with thanksgiving. She was giving praise and thanks to the Lord for all that she for her marriage being restored, and she was seeing that happen throughout. She saw it in the end. So let me go to the second part real quick. Verse 8, beware anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. This is really, really key here because Satan, our enemy, and his army of demons, they're going to attack us. They're going to attack us through circumstance. They're going to attack us through words and deeds and actions our spouses are taking against us. They will speak through friends, through family, through coworkers, through church members who will tell us, oh, well, you got a divorce decree. It's over. Forget it. Move on. You know what? You're better off without them. You know what? God will bring someone better to you. That's all demonic. I'm sorry to say, because there's nothing from those words, even if they're coming from the pulpit, from the preacher at church. If those words are coming from anyone within the church, it's demonically influenced. Not that they're possessed. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they're being influenced by Satan and his demons, because nowhere can we find that in Scripture. Nowhere. So this is what Colossians 2, verse 8 talks about. Beware lest anyone cheat you out of what? Out of your promise from God to restore your marriage. Cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit. See, God's warning us here. This is how you stand. Guard your heart against anything that stands contrary to what God told you in the Bible. If you read Scripture and God said to you, I'm restoring your marriage, you stand on it. That's your roots. You build up on it. You build your faith. You build your walls. You build your restoration on that word, from God, from the Bible. And you beware that anyone, even if that's a preacher from church, anyone says anything contrary to that, you ignore them and guard your heart from them. So this, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. According to the basic principles of the world. Basic principles of the world is, you know what? Everybody divorces. What's the big deal? Go find somebody else. Get over it. Stop hanging on. What's wrong with you? You desperate? Those are the philosophies of the world. Those are the principles of the world. And they're not according to Christ. So, verse 9 and 10. For in Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead of God. So everything that God had, he gave to Jesus Christ. And you and I are complete because we are in Jesus. Verse 10, you and I are complete because we are in him, in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the head, in charge, and in full control of what? Principality and power. You know what principality and power is? Satan and all of his demons. So if Jesus is the head and fully in control and has full power, dominion, and control over Satan and all of his demons, and God gave Jesus Christ all the power and authority, and we who are in Jesus Christ sharing that power and authority, where does that put Satan? Under your foot and under my foot. Do we now understand the power we are given? That's how we stand. This is how we stand. This should be our marching orders for anyone standing for their marriages, Colossians 2, 6 through 10. And then, so the other thing is this. So, that's how we stand. How do we respond or treat or think of or have a heart for or a mindset toward our spouse, our prodigal spouse? Very, very, very simple. 1 Corinthians 13, or is it 2 Corinthians 13? Love is, I have to look that up. Sorry, someone correct me. Which is it? 1 or 2 Corinthians?
Tell me your press, it doesn't happen.
Oh, I thought somebody had the answer, and it's background noise. Okay, so I think I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians 13, here we go. Thank you very much. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. does not seek its own, not selfish, is not easily provoked by our spouses of things they do or say, thinks no evil towards our spouses based on what they're doing, and does not rejoice in iniquity when bad things happen to our spouses, but rejoices in the truth. Love also, verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And then verse 8, love never fails. This is our attitude, our heart, our mindset toward our spouse. And anything other than this is a sin. God says so. God says, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, it is a sin. And if we don't love our neighbor as we love ourselves, it is a sin. So if we're not loving our spouse according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8, we are sinning against God and our spouse. So if you want to be in good standing with God, this is how we have. So, and if you're not there, if you're reading this, read this. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, read this with your spouse in mind. And take it slowly, meditate on this, and I guarantee you that if you find a spot in there that your heart's not in the right place, pray about it. The Lord will help you change your heart. But when we love our spouses this way, this is one very powerful force that God will use in and through us to bring our spouses back home. And it doesn't matter the condition that God brings them home. We need to be here. So two things. How do we stand and how do we deal with our spouses? There you have it. Those are the two things I want to share with you tonight. And actually did it in very short order, so that's really good. So I wanted to share that with you guys tonight. God gave it to me just before the conference call. I hope that you guys would take that. Take it to heart, meditate on that for the next few days, maybe the whole week or so. If your heart is having issues with any of those things that I just covered from the scripture, take that to the Lord, because that's the Lord saying, knock, knock on your heart. Hey, this is what I need to change in your heart. This is a weak spot or a blind spot or an area that I don't approve of that I want to change. And I guarantee you let the Lord change your heart and prepare your heart. The Lord wants to prepare your heart for one thing, for your spouse to be brought back home. Because if God brings the spouse back home and you haven't changed, what guarantee, what hope do you have that you and your spouse won't go through this episode again in a year, 2 years, 4 years down the road? You won't go through this again. But when God changes your heart, through you, God will then change your spouse's heart. And then together, God will rebuild your marriage with him, God, at the center of your marriage. I've seen it through testimonial after testimonial after testimonial. That is the pattern that God uses. So if you want instructions from the Lord of what to do, I just gave them to you. And they're not my words. I just read them to you from the Bible. God's words. Because I go back to that myself. I go back to that and I'm reminded of that. Am I doing this? Lord, I ask you, Lord, what do I do? Tell me what do I need to do, because I feel lost. And then God takes me back to the scripture and to the word and says, did I tell you this? Did I tell you this? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Let our minds be renewed every single day, putting on the mind of Christ. That's what God wants. Remember, God wants to restore your marriage more than you do. Whatever desire you have, multiply that by 10, 100, 200, 500%. That's how much God wants to restore your marriage, my marriage, because it has more to do with him than it has to do with us. Someday I'll do a conference call on that, but I keep saying I will, but I haven't. Anyway, we have about four more minutes before we have a closing prayer. Any questions, any comments, any feedback? And by the way, thank you to the woman who was on a conference call tonight, surprisingly, and you shared your testimony. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for answering the questions that you did and being open and transparent and sharing your heart. and your testimony. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was unexpected. What a blessing that was. Any comments, questions in closing?
Hey, Chris. This is Sophia.
Hey, Sophia.
Quick question. Did you want to take some time to maybe get some questions for our next conference call for Gerald and Yvette, or would you rather have people email them to you?
Well, we have that opportunity at the beginning, and so that has come and gone. But okay. I did give everyone Chris at praisereport.org. You can email me there. We will put together a list. You could add your question to the list or not. But we'll probably cut off the question, the Q&A, or the opportunity for submitting questions to us. We'll probably cut it off maybe a day or two before the conference call, which is in 2 weeks from tonight. Because we need some time to put it together, compile it, and then give it to,
send it to them.
Gerald and Yvette. Yeah, so they're prepared for the conference call. Don't miss the conference call. I'm telling you, they're going to be on with us for an hour and a half. They're both very lively. They're both very energetic. They both have an extreme passion for this. Once again, if you don't know who they are, go onto YouTube, look up GYM or Gerald and Yvette Ministries. Their last name is Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N. Look up their YouTube videos. Weekend is coming up. If you don't have the kids, if you have free time, there's no reason why you can't go on YouTube. Look up their information. Find their YouTube channel. Watch the YouTube, the Restored Marriage Testimonial by Gerald. God absolutely broke Gerald. When the one video that I saw 6 months ago or so, 8 months ago of his, he was a crying hot mess in the YouTube video sharing his testimony. And I can tell you, I certainly appreciate it because he opened his heart and shared his heart. God absolutely broke him, and that's what God does. But God brings a godly brokenness, one that leads to repentance, one that none of us will be sorry about or regret. And he certainly was in that position. So go find the YouTube videos, watch them, then send your questions to me. We'll compile them, and then we'll see you guys in 2 weeks for the conference call with Gerald and Yvette for a full hour and a half. It's just going to be them. I'll do the questions. They'll do the answers. So get us your questions, okay? Any other closing questions or comments real quick? Got a minute left. No? Okay. Can we have anyone close us out in prayer tonight? All right, I'll close this out in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for exceeding our expectations tonight on tonight's conference call. You brought us a restored marriage testimony that was not planned, was unexpected, but we are pleasantly surprised. And then, of course, we're not surprised by you because you always exceed our expectations. So, Father, we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for blessing us with a restored marriage tonight, the testimonial. We want to thank you, Father, for your word of encouragement. We want to thank you for that, for the testimonial that you brought that husband and wife together and you restored their marriage. And, Father, we ask that let that be a prophetic word to each one of us on this conference call and those who will listen in later that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that what you did for them, you will do for us without a doubt. Guaranteed, you will do it, because greater are you in us than he who is in the world, who's attempting to kill, steal, and destroy our spouses and our marriages and our families. So, Father, we want to thank you for exceedingly abundantly answering our prayers, being with us, joining us tonight. We thank you for speaking to us through your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love just that just overwhelms us. more than what we could, more than words we could express. So, Father, we thank you. We glorify your name, Father. Let us, Father, glorify your name by standing on your word and your truth and your promises, that, Father, you might receive the glory when each one of us have our own testimony of our own restored marriage, Father, that you have done it. And there's nothing that entire hell, that Satan and all of his demons, all of them collectively, cannot stand against us in our marriages or the restoration of our marriages. So, Father, we thank you with all of our hearts, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, because we say amen to our restored marriages, that whether it's tomorrow, next week, or next year, it will happen, because we have your promise on it. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you again. And, Father, I pray that for all my brothers and sisters who are standing for their marriages, I pray, Father, you will keep them, provide for them, give all their physical needs, provide all their spiritual needs, provide them with all the love that they need for their spouses, forgiveness they need for their spouses, all the hope, the trust, and the faith that they need in you, and whatever encouragement they might need, they will get from you. So, Father, we look to you for everything, and we give back to you all the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, 2 weeks, we'll see you. And email me your questions. God bless you. Have a great, blessed 2 weeks.
Good night, guys.